are back on the Heart and Hustle podcast, fresh off a 1-1 weekend for the Orlando Magic. Welcome in. Thanks for hanging out, taping this on a Monday. Nick, Scott, as we're going to try to dig into what some of the problems are here. The Magic checking in at 3-7, and as I mentioned, taping this Monday, are coming off a loss to the Indiana Pacers, 109-102 at the Amway Center, as they've played two of their five games on their homestand, a homestand that Scott said you had to win 4 of 5 out of. As this team, there's no other way to put it, Scotty, like this team continues to struggle. They continue, especially on the offensive side, and I think what we've seen over the last week or so is you can't expect the defense that they had through the first 5 to 6 games to show up every single night.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And on Friday, it shows up. They shoot the ball well, beat Memphis. But on Sunday, they play good, solid defense for about 3 quarters and then couldn't hold on to the rope any longer.
Well, I think it are you a glass-half-full person or a glass-half-empty person? Let's be...
We've been working together almost 4 years, Scotty, I think.
You're pretty much a glass-half-empty guy.
Yeah, I am. I mean, like...
But if your glass is half-full,
okay,
you're looking at the last 3 games, you shot it pretty darn well. Okay, but you look at the 2 weekend games, Friday and Sunday. The Friday game against Memphis was exactly the game that the Magic needed to get out of that 4-game losing streak, come off the tough 1-point loss at Dallas, a game in which you play probably your best game to date, at least offensively, in Dallas. Came out against Memphis, shot the ball extremely well. Vooch had a good game with 23-16. Isaac was sensational with 22-8. You had 5 guys in double figures. Was it ugly at times against Memphis? Yeah, but I think Memphis is the type of team that you play ugly against. But look, I mean, you look at the Memphis game, you dominate the boards 57-36. That type of performance was exactly what you needed to kind of get on the right track again. And you thought, okay, we're back, baby. The offense is back. Even though Terrence Ross did not play in that Dallas game and the Memphis game, you thought, okay, the offense is back. And you come out last night, Sunday night, Nick, against an Indiana team that was injury-riddled, to say the least. Miles Turner was out. Jeremy Lamb was out. So you come out and you shoot the lights out, over 50% in the first half. You shot like 60 or 61% from three in the first half alone on Sunday night, and you're thinking, okay, this is, we've been waiting for this team to show up, and they finally showed up. They've got, what, a 9-point lead going into the halftime locker room, and the funniest thing happened. A counterfeit team showed up in the second half. Like, that was not the team. The team that came out of the Magic locker room in the second half was not the team that entered the locker room at the end of the first half.
Yeah, you lead by 9 at halftime. It's 60-51. In the third quarter, the Magic and the Pacers come out. Pacers outscore Orlando 30-17, and that was your ball game right there.
Yep.
And still, yes, they could have won that game late if they made a couple more buckets, but they came out, and I would be interested to see what the third quarter numbers are for this team. I'm going to try to dig into that a little bit because it feels like the third quarter has not been Orlando's friend coming out of the half. And this is a Steve Clifford coach team that, you remember going back to that GM survey, they talked about adjustments and well-coached teams. I'm not saying this is a Steve Clifford issue, but it feels like the third quarter has not been the Orlando Magic's friend this year.
Well, Coach Cliff was even talking about that last night and how he was stunned to see how they came out of the locker room. Indiana goes on a 12-0 run to begin the third quarter, and game was over from there. I mean, they literally punched the Orlando Magic in the mouth, and the Magic were KO'd. They did not get up. And you look at what the Pacers did in the second half. You outscore them 58-42, and the ball movement. Nick, the Magic had, I believe, 18 assists in the first half. The ball movement was crisp. It was sound. And this team has to have that ball movement in order to play well offensively. It was moving side to side. It was terrific in the first half. And for whatever reason, in the second half, the ball just stopped. And as you well know, if this team goes ISO Joe, forget about it. They're not going to beat anybody. You've got to have that ball moving side to side. So the ball just stopped in the second half on Sunday night. You got to give credit to Indy. I thought they played very well offensively in the second half. But this is a Magic team that also relies on stops, right? It also relies on, you couldn't get any stops in the second half. You couldn't do anything right.
No, they couldn't. And Domantas Sabonis, of course, the Orlando Magic draft pick that was traded to Oklahoma City in the Victor Oladipo deal, goes off 21 points, 16 rebounds. And by the way, Sabonis is the type of player that Nick Vucevic in particular struggles against. He's a little more physical. You know, he'll bump back a little bit. And last night we saw Sabonis, I mean, pretty much made everything around the rim. He was 9 of 18 from the floor.
Yeah, he had 21 points. But more importantly with Sabonis, it's
seven
what
assists
he does
too.
That doesn't show up the next day in the box score. The screens that he sets during games are phenomenal. I mean, this guy is a lot more physical than you think he is. So he was terrific. I thought Brogdon was terrific. McDermott and McConnell off the bench really carried the load in the second half. But this was a prime example to me. Credit to Indy aside, this was a prime example to me of how the Orlando Magic are just, they're bipolar. I mean,
it's a good way to put it.
Great first half, and in the second half, they don't even appear to be the same team.
Yeah.
It was unreal. They just never recovered after that 12-0 run by Indiana.
You outshoot the Pacers 15-9 at the three-point line in terms of makes. The Magic were 15 of 36 from three. I mean, 41%. That has to be the high mark of the season. Maybe the Memphis game was a little bit better. And you hold Indy to 9 of 20 from beyond the arc. That's what's been killing the Magic all year long. I mean, how many times have we heard Steve Clifford say after a game, well, the story's the three-point shooting.
Yeah.
You go out, you get three made threes from Evan Fournier. Terrence Ross made, I know he made a couple. I know Terrence made. No, he made one. That's right. He was one of two. You think, looking at those numbers, by the way, he had 12 blocks too, which is just, I mean, Jonathan Isaac continues to have a great season. Yeah, I'm kind of flummoxed at the way that this team played. By the way, Ross did make. He made two of three. Yeah.
Well, look, and again, glass half full, you're shooting the ball a lot better with the exception of the second half against Indiana, against Dallas, against Memphis, and in the first half of the game against Indiana, you're shooting the ball a lot better. So that's a good sign. Now, the disturbing sign, especially for me about Sunday's loss, is the lapse in intensity and effort. I mean, you had to know, and I said it last week on the show, Nick, you've got to take at the very least, 4 of 5 of these games to get back into the race because you got teams who are running away with the Eastern Conference right now. And as we all saw last year, it's very difficult to play catch up. You can't rely on winning 22 of your final 31 basketball games in a season because I guarantee you it ain't going to happen this year. So you've got to get moving, and you've got to get moving now. And the thing about the second half last night, the lapse in effort, the lapse in intensity. Like I said, it's almost as if a group of imposters ran out of that locker room in the second half. The ball stopped moving. You give credit to the Pacers. But look, I mean, you shot, what, 55% of the first half, 61 on threes, and just fall apart. I get it. It's a torrid pace. You don't expect this team to shoot 61% from three. But my goodness gracious, the tide was turning for the Orlando Magic. And then to have them just come out as flat as they were and to lay a big old egg in that second half against Indiana is definitely a red flag for this team. I did not expect that. I expected a win on Sunday night. We did not get that. Now, the one guy, and you just mentioned him, Nick. I think the one guy we got to get going here, like, immediately. And he missed two games with the tendonitis in the right knee.
Terrence Ross.
He's your MVP from last year, right?
He is, yes.
We have to get him going. Overall, he struggled to shoot the basketball. You look at some of the statistics from these guys, and it's not as if they're shooting the lights out, but Vucevic is getting to where he was last year. Fournier, you know, I know a lot of people complain about Evan Fournier, but Fournier's numbers are decent. Markel Fultz, I think we can expect what we have seen the first 10, 11 games to what, you know, I think we can project that for the rest of the season. I don't think his shooting is going to get markedly better, but look at Terrence Ross's numbers right now.
Yeah, I've got him right in front of me here. Terrence Ross is averaging 8.8 points per game. He's given you about 3 rebounds, but really the shooting numbers are depressing. He's shooting 32% from the field and 22% from three this season. He's making about 1 3 a game, basically, and taking 6. Terrence Ross has been the real hangover guy through the first 10 games of the season, and he's playing 21 minutes, too. So, I mean, he's been out there, and albeit, I mean, he missed two games. I don't know how much the knee issue is I don't know what's the knee, and I don't know what's
right.
The whatever hangover it is that Terrence Ross has.
We don't know, but you could make a case for this guy being that one ingredient that we're missing from last year. I mean, he's the only guy on this team who has that ability to explode for like 40 points on a night. He just hasn't been there yet. So as much as the Magic have struggled shooting the basketball, this guy has to get it going. He is a major threat. He's really struggled out of the gates. I thought it looked like Sunday night, after missing those two games, he had a little bit of a bounce in his step that he hadn't had in the previous 6 or 8 games, had a lot of energy. But this is such a dynamic basketball player. We got to get T. Ross right. To me, he's the second most important offensive player to Nick Vucevic. We got to get him going.
So how do you do that, though?
He's got to play through it. I mean, Steve Clifford has often been asked about Nick Vucevic and what do you have to do to get him going. At some point in time,
The answer that Steve Clifford has given time and time again is the player's got to get himself
exactly.
going.
Exactly. It's got to lie with the basketball player, and it's got to lie with Terrence Ross here. Now, again, like you said, the one X factor that we don't know about this year is what's going on with that right knee. I've got to think, as cautious as this organization is, they would have held him out a lot longer if that right knee was a persistent.
Well, I think you would have held him out at least on Sunday, knowing that you're off till Wednesday. So if you hold him out Sunday and you don't play him, you get Monday and Tuesday before playing the Philadelphia 76ers on Wednesday. Right. So I would happen to agree with you there that if the knee is a huge issue, then you sit him one more game and you get 3 more days off.
Physically, looked good. He looked good. He had a lot of energy. He had a jump in his step. But you have to get him right. You have to get Terrence Ross right if this thing is going to go back on the tracks. And another thing, look, I mean, I get a lot of comments on Twitter about Markelle Fultz. Like, at first, it was like, everybody's excited, it's a great trade, and all of a sudden now, Markelle has played.
Oh, is the shine coming off the apple?
Exactly. Like, the luster is wearing off with a lot of Magic fans out there.
The numbers aren't terrible. I mean, he's given you, what, nine, almost 10 points a game. He's turning it over a little bit too much, but, I mean, he's not been terrible.
He had 0 turnovers against Indiana.
Because he's averaging 2 turnovers a game. That's not that bad, actually.
As a starting point guard who hasn't played roughly in 2 years and really is in his rookie season, heck no.
He's a starting point guard, but they're also only playing him about 23 minutes a game. Like, he and DJ are splitting minutes, basically. Yeah. DJ Augustine is still playing more minutes per game than Markelle Fultz is, though that'll likely change over
time.
But
I think it's interesting that in today's society, it's like we're always on to the next something, the next guy, the next something or other, right? I mean, Markelle Fultz was the big story early on in the season. Now, all of a sudden, he's gone out and played, I think, some pretty good basketball, and it's only going to get better from here. And yet it's all about immediacy right now in our society. Look, even TJ McConnell said, I think it was Josh Robbins who wrote a great article on The Athletic yesterday about TJ McConnell and Markelle Fultz being very, very tight, almost like brothers. And
they were on the Sixers together.
Yeah, TJ McConnell, that they played together the last couple of years. TJ McConnell was very emotional when asked about Markelle Fultz, and it was his first time that he actually got an up-close and personal look at Markelle Fultz, the starter for the Orlando Magic. And look, we have to remember from where this dude came. The last 2 years, he only played 33 games with that thoracic outlet syndrome. So I think we have to keep that in mind, you know? I mean, I think Jonathan Isaac has become a silver lining. Nick Vucevic is getting back to where he was. Evan Fournier's playing decent basketball for you. DJ's been pretty good off the bench. But for this team to make the playoffs, obviously, you're going to have to get a little bit more out of Markelle Fultz, but let's not put the cart before the horse here. This kid, from where he came, is light years from that. So we have to be patient with this kid, but I think we found out this kid has extreme talent.
He does. He has extreme talent, and really what I think we've learned through the first 10 games, it's going to be a struggle until Terrence Ross gets it going offensively every single night. And if you're Steve Clifford and that coaching staff, you have to keep reminding your guys, hey, listen, you make your money on the defensive side of the basketball, because if they allow 105 points per game, they're going to lose a lot of games because, I mean, you look at just some of the offensive and defensive ratings for the Magic through the first 10 games of the season. Your offensive rating, you're 29th out of 30 teams. Mm-hmm. There's one team in the league that's worse than you. Defensively, you're a top 10 team. They're 6th of 30 in terms of defensive rating. And I always like to keep an eye on the pace because this is a team that, you know, listen, they like to play slow. They are the slowest team in the league.
Yeah, that's got to improve.
They got to move a little bit more, especially because if you're going to struggle shooting, try to go get some easy ones.
Yeah.
You know, try to go get some easy ones, and I think that's something else as well. You mentioned Jonathan Isaac for a minute.
Yeah.
If I were to ask you who leads the NBA in blocks, who do you think it is?
Is it Isaac?
It is.
Are you serious?
30 blocks through 10 games.
I did not realize
Jonathan
that.
Isaac is averaging 3 blocks per game. He has 30 blocks through 10 games.
And just how many minutes is he playing per game?
I don't really care. He's playing 30 minutes a game.
30, okay. All right.
30 minutes, 3 blocks a game. He's also giving you 12 points and nearly 7 rebounds. This guy is going to make an all-defense team this year.
You think it's going to be this year?
It's going to happen.
First, second, or third team?
Ooh, wow, I really dove in deep there. It's going to happen this year. If the block numbers, because now you start to get some of the hype too. It's like, wow, Jonathan Isaac. I'm also going to throw out there, he's shooting 38% from three.
Mm.
Like this guy
on this team, that's really, really good.
It's good for Jonathan Isaac. Like in a very dark first 10 games of the year where you've gone 3-7, which by the way is a game improvement over last season when this team started 2-8 in their first 10 games.
Right.
So things can turn around. Jonathan Isaac is averaging 12, 7, and 3 blocks.
Well, there's another silver lining, right? I mean, and Rick Carlisle, the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, who is known as one of the best head coaches in the NBA, after the Magic game in Dallas the other night, had a great quote about Jonathan Isaac. I don't have it in front of me, but the basic gist of it was, I love watching this kid play the game, and he is the most improved basketball player in the NBA without a doubt. So that's really high praise from a guy who knows his stuff there in Dallas. Just keep doing what you're doing, J.I., and the wins will come, hopefully. But look, J.I.'s got to get some help here. He's got to get some help on both the offensive end and the defensive end, but especially in the offensive end. We got to get T. Ross going. We get it going. I still think this team can go 4-1 on this homestand. I think you have to go 4-1 on this homestand because you don't want to play from a hole the rest of the season. And that's exactly what the Magic were doing last year. Can't do that this year. Be nice to play from ahead. And eventually, I do believe, Nick, that this team is going to catch fire offense.
3 games left on the homestand. You got Philly Wednesday. You got the San Antonio Spurs and the Washington Wizards. Can they bounce back and get 3 straight before heading back out on the road to the Toronto Raptors? We'll find out. You'll hear from us a little later this week. There's a game Wednesday. Probably hear from us like Thursday or Friday, something like that. But until then, he is Scott Inez. I'm Nick Grunowitz. You can hear us weekdays on ESPN 580 Orlando, 580 AM, FM 96.5 HD2 if you got that cool little dial in your car for the HD2. Also on the TuneIn Radio app, iHeartRadio app, and on your smart speaker, just say, Alexa, play ESPN 580 Orlando. That'll do it for us, but of course, we'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Magic.